But right now, it's time for Talking Books, made possible now by La Vita Dolce Cafe in Southern Village. You can stop by there for an afternoon pick-me-up, enjoy delicious nitro cold brew coffee, or indulge with a new gelato flavor. And of course, don't forget to bring your favorite book. Speaking of favorite books, I've got one of my favorite book people here in the studio, Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. How are you?
I'm so well.
Awesome.
You're also one of my favorite.
Aww.
Well, you're just one of my favorite people.
People.
I don't have to modify it with Aww. Book or radio or nerd. You're just one of my favorite people, Aaron. What? How's it going, buddy?
Much better now that you're here. How are you doing? We got to talk books, but really cool news for the library in the last week that we got to share.
We got some real cool news.
Yeah.
Summer reading is happening.
Yes.
No, we've already talked about that.
We talked about summer reading.
We got some really great news about two big grants that we got. So, put the word out in the media and social media last week, and people are really excited for these to get started, including staff. So these are two federal grants that are competitive federal funding that come through the state library in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to the state library, because they could actually choose to sort of use all of the money that they get, which is millions of dollars. They actually take half of it and make it directly available to public libraries in the state. So it's an awesome program.
Awesome. So is this grant money basically coming from the state library then? Is that how it works?
Ish. So the federal government, through this program, it's LSTA, Library Services and Technology Act, they give money to each state library. So when I was in Kansas, they got the money and they dispersed most of it from themselves. Like they did development programs and this and that. Some states, like Carolina, choose to take a good portion of it and make it available directly to other libraries for these grants. And it's a competitive process. So this is the same grant funding stream that has funded The Circulator,
mm-hmm.
that funded Explore More, and all kinds of things. So these two grants, one is about a $100,000 grant. And it will create an offsite kiosk that will be a place where users can pick up their holds
Nice.
And return their books. So the reason that we landed at this is for a couple of things. One, we know that we have a serious parking problem at the library. It's a good problem to have, but it's a pretty significant problem.
Yeah. So many people want to be there.
Yeah. I mean, which is great, but parking is a real problem. And through watching our users and understanding their habits and their preferences, we know that we have a lot of people that are what we call our grab and go customers.
Mm-hmm.
They are excellent users of our catalog. They are digitally native. They put everything on hold, and then they come to the library and they have to find a parking space to come in the building, grab their holds off the self or off the self-serve hold shelf, use our self-serve checkout,
mm-hmm.
and head back out. So they are, we love people. We love all of our folks, but these folks have really mastered the technology that we've given them.
Yes.
And we're always happy to help them too. So those two things kind of came together. And so what this will be, we're not sure where it's going to be yet. Probably fairly close to the building, but in a place that has, you know, plenty of space and parking. But how it will work is something like this. You'll put a book on hold, and we currently send you an email saying that your book's on hold. Well, if you want to pick it up at the kiosk, we'll also send you, say, a code and say, your items are in locker 46. Punch in this code and pick up your items.
Awesome.
It's really great.
That's really cool.
And then we'll have a book drop there also, so people can return things there. And based on the data that we did and the projections, we think it's going to free up about 60 parking spaces every day, which
that's
is a lot.
That's awesome.
Like throughout the day, not all
at
once.
Right, yeah, but still.
Yeah.
That's great. So to put that in perspective, how many parking spaces are there? Because there's the two lots.
Why would you ask me that question?
To get that look.
How many spots?
Is it like several
hopefully
hundred?
Daniel,
is it
the marketing dude, will text me. Hopefully he's listening.
Yeah.
And he'll know.
It's clearly 314.
So, right, yeah. Exactly. It's a couple hundred.
Okay.
But we are at capacity on parking every single
right,
day.
Right. Are there specific places that you're looking? Like you're saying this, I'm like, oh, University Place would be
that's
a
certainly
good spot.
One. Yeah. This and places like this.
Okay.
Yes. So it's a really huge and complex project. So it's great that we have the federal funds to actually pay for it, but it's also great that I have amazing staff at the library and throughout town because it is a really complex technical project too, because this will affect all of our systems. So like our big book sorter, we will have to make one of those bins, kiosk bin, and then we're going to have to connect all the technical pieces, and there's wiring, and we're going to have to get a vehicle, and it's very complex. I don't have to do it. I get to talk about it. My amazing staff at the library and in town will execute it.
That's awesome. So that is one of two grants. The other one, as someone who hosts a local music hour, I'm really excited about.
It's going to be so cool.
Yeah.
So this one is our local music project. And there's about, I don't know, a dozen or so public libraries in the country that have done these. So we're joining a small cohort. They're often in major cities like Seattle has done one and Nashville, or they're in these kind of college towns like us with these great music scenes.
Right.
So what the project will do is it's really three parts. And the first part is the biggest part. We're going to create a digital platform. It's an online platform where local bands can submit albums, and through a curatorial juried process, we will select, I think the first year we're gonna select maybe 75 or 85.
Okay.
They will be loaded onto this platform. We will pay them a small licensing fee, and then anybody can stream this music through the site, and people with their handy dandy Chapel Hill Public Library card can download it.
Nice.
So it's a really cool way for the, because the library, we collect content, we distribute content, we give people access to things, we connect, you know, readers and books and listeners and audiobooks, and so this is going to be local music audiences with great bands that are here in this area.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I love this.
And then there's other two parts of it. One is a sort of a historic part of it, so we're going to load in some older stuff and maybe some oral histories. And then we're going to do some kind of programming around it, maybe a festival or a concert series, but it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I totally want to see this happen.
Yeah.
Like that, I saw that and I was like, oh my God, yes, this is exactly what we need. And I love you coming in and telling me about all of these things, because every single week you come in with a new program or project like this, and you can just see the evolution of just the concept of the library, right?
Aww,
it's no longer
thanks.
Just
yeah.
come in and check out books. We're just providing information in every single conceivable way. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really rooted in the core services that we've always done, but we're just making them modern and relevant and thinking about them in new ways as technologies change and preferences change and all of that. So more on those soon, but
cool.
We're pretty excited.
So with all of that in mind, let's go right back to books and,
and
recommend books based on what the end of summer's coming to an end.
The end of summer.
The summer reading program is getting close to coming to an end.
And like once again, we're killing it. I think it's over 50,000 hours read, and they're still going. And this, let me make sure, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow night from 6 till 8 is the end of summer cool down party.
Awesome.
So we have our big summer reading kickoff. And for the end of summer, we've done this a couple years now. We do kind of a smaller scale, kind of a mellow thing, but we're going to have the aerialist come.
Okay.
You know, they climb and swing on the ropes and do the things.
Is this like someone who comes and climbs and swings
down the
ropes?
It's more than one person.
Okay.
And it's outside, so they bring this like rigging, because I was like, what are they going to hang from outside? Cause so I've seen aerialists indoors, right?
Right.
So they bring their own structures and rigging, and so they're going to be doing all of the aerial gymnastics and contortions and things
this
out
like
front
a
at
really
the library.
Big, cool, exciting thing for a party that's called Cool Down.
I know, right?
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
And then sort of riffing on the aerialist kind of circus theme, we're going to have some things like hula hoops and juggling and kind of some low-key things for people to just hang out and really relax celebrate the end of summer. So that's our prompt, end of summer.
So with the end of summer in mind, what are we going to recommend that's end of summer themed?
Well, I'll tell you, Aaron.
Do you want me to start or do you want to go? Okay, go for it.
Babe.
Yeah, all right, all right, go for it.
So we, the Brown family, took our end of summer trip last week.
Yes.
We had a really busy summer, and we were getting towards the end of it and realized we didn't, like, we hadn't taken a family trip. We'd all done individual trips. So last week, we kind of double-dipped on a work thing, and we went to Lake Lure in the western part of the state, which is right next to Chimney Rock.
Home of Dirty Dancing, right?
That's right.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So the books that I'm going to recommend are based on our end of summer trip. So
cool.
We stayed at the historic Lake Lure Inn and Spa, which is where Dirty Dancing was filmed in part. But it's also, it's this really old inn that feels like a cross between like an old summer camp and the Overlook Hotel from The Shining.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah.
really cool. I love these old kind of hotels. The staff is lovely. I recommend it highly. But Zelda Fitzgerald stayed there.
Oh, nice.
So I wanted to recommend two titles. A couple years ago, there was this stretch where like four books about her came out in this two-year stretch.
Yeah.
One of them is called Guests on Earth, and that's by Lee Smith, who's a local author.
Right.
I love that one because it really focused on Zelda's time at the sanatorium, asylum, hospital in Asheville. So that's
okay.
a very good book.
Oh, is that why she was in the air? Okay,
she was,
gotcha.
Yeah. So
right.
that one was about that particular chapter in her life. And then the other one is a really great book by Teresa Ann Fowler, who I think lives in Raleigh, that is called Z, a novel of Zelda Fitzgerald, which is really her whole life span. And this is the book that is the basis for the Amazon Prime series that's out now called The Life of Z or Z. So this they have taken this as the inspiration for the Amazon Prime series. So Guests on Earth by Lee Fitzgerald and Z by Teresa Ann Fowler.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. So you put more thought into this than me. I was just thinking of like just fun end of summer books.
Yeah.
The first thing that I thought of when I thought of the end of summer is just what do I associate summer with? And I associate summer still with baseball, right? So I thought, okay, great baseball books. And one that I don't think that I've recommended or haven't in a while is The Glory of Their Times by Lawrence Ritter, which is not really so much his writing. It's a compilation that he did. He did this, I believe, in the 60s. It's an older book where he went and he found dozens of very, very old-timey ball players from the early 20th century, like the 1900s, the 1910s, maybe the 1920s, maybe even like the 1890s, and just sat down, and he had to go and find some of these people, because this was the 60s. They were long retired. Some of them were super obscure. Some of them were very consciously trying to live in obscurity, and he scouted them all out and found them and convinced a lot of them to sit down and just tell him all about what it was like to be in the major leagues in those kind of early years of the 20th century. And in the process, you get a lot about what life was like in the early 20th century, too. So it's all of these stories that are told in the first person, in the voices of the people themselves. It's a fantastic book if you love baseball. It's a great book if you love just history and American history. And a couple of the people who he interviewed actually ended up coming back in the public eye because of this book, and they had been completely forgotten, lost to obscurity, and a couple of them ended up making it to the Hall of Fame because of the fame that they got from participating
really
in this
cool.
book. So
that's
yeah, it's
cool.
a fun
and
book.
Tell me the title again.
The Glory of Their Times.
Oh, that's a great title.
It's a great
too.
Title, right? Yeah,
I love it.
It's
Are
fun.
There photos in it? Like
yes.
back? Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, there's some. Yeah,
The Glory of Their Times.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yep.
Okay, so the other thing, Lake Lure is right next to Chimney Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent some time in the village. We didn't actually go hiking up there or anything because I actually hate being outdoors in the summer. I'm just going to put that out there.
It's fair, yeah.
But we sat.
It's 103 degrees
right,
outside.
Right, we
yeah.
sat in the little, like, by the, like, in the porch of the restaurant with the giant fan and looked up at the mountains.
Yes.
and the people sweating and hiking them. But when we looked up there, we saw this waterfall, this really cool waterfall. And it turns out that's where Last of the Mohicans, that waterfall scene, was filmed.
Okay.
So I have not read Last of the Mohicans. I love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a little melodramatic. That's the scene where it actually might be the waterfall scene.
Is
where he says, like, I will find
you.
You
no matter what occurs. Don't know why Sylvester
Lewis.
Stallone.
That was awesome. I'm a sucker for the movie, but my husband has read that book many times. So James Brown highly recommends Last of the Mohicans by James Fenimore Cooper.
I have read that book too. I actually read it for a class on American political thought. It was assigned to me as part of what American self-thinking was in the 1830s. Yeah, that's a super fun book. Awesome. So my next one has nothing whatsoever to do with the end of summer or our prompt at all. I just read it earlier this week, and it's a fantastic book. It's new. I think it's from last year. It's called The Broken Ladder by Keith Payne, who, as it turns out, and I was not aware of this when I acquired the book and started reading it until he started talking. He's a psychologist, I think. He started talking about going to his favorite barbecue place, The Pig, and eating there. And I was like, wait a minute. Is he talking about our pig? I look at the back, and sure enough, he's a UNC professor.
Oh, wow.
So he's local. His name is Keith Payne, and he's written this book called The Broken Ladder, which is a very readable book about the impact of inequality. Like, we have a tendency to think of poverty and the impact of poverty as being when you are just objectively poor and without means. So if the rising tide lifts all boats and everyone has more money and more wealth and more means and more resources, even if inequality grows as a result of that, everyone has more, so things should be okay. What Keith Payne says is, no, there's actually also an impact of inequality as well. Like, if we feel like we're inferior to other people or we feel like we're not keeping up, that can have as big an impact on us as just straight up poverty does. It leads us to make riskier choices that end up hurting us in the long run. It leads to physical issues, health issues, and there's just national and international statistics that he's able to cobble together that show that actually when you compare other countries in terms of their health outcomes, life expectancy and things like that, they correlate with the amount of inequality rather than the amount of wealth. Like, inequality is maybe even more important than wealth and poverty levels. And he does this in this incredibly readable, fast read kind of way. So it's a great book to just sort of sit down and read one afternoon, but you get a lot out of it as well.
Yeah. I'm just checking out the Amazon page for it, and really positive reviews and from the critics and from readers. So, and he's right here in Chapel Hill.
Yeah. I've got to reach out to him and get him on the air. And the other thing that I loved reading this was, I don't know how psychology figured it out, but psychology did in a way that I don't think any other field really has, except maybe history, of how to take these really cutting edge findings that oftentimes will just get buried in some obscure journal somewhere, but then present them in a readable way that ordinary people can read and absorb.
Which I think is such a huge talent, and it's so hard. I mean, that's like the Dan Ariely's and the Daniel Pink's and all of that stuff. I love that.
Malcolm Gladwell. Exactly.
That's great. I'm going to have to check that one out.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man.
So, awesome. Awesome. So chapelhillpubliclibrary.org is the website. Go there and find out more. Super excited about the new grants. I'm looking forward to hearing more. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
And that was Talkin' Books, brought to you by La Vida Dolce. Let's keep the conversation going. You can join the La Vida Dolce Book Club every Tuesday at 5:30. It launched earlier this week. Super exciting. And next week, led by local author Katie Guest-Rose Pryle, that book club is going to be discussing a book called True Places by Sonia York over gelato, wine, coffee, and more. So head to La Vida Dolce for that Tuesday at 5:30 of next week. The book club is open and welcome to all.